shoot from downtown for three. It's 56-45 at the half.
All right. Well, we're live, and this is happening, and I can't believe it because I brought together the two basketball minds that I respect the most. These dudes know it all, and they never met. I just invited them to my house, and I said, let's do a basketball podcast. These two individuals have never met. They haven't even said a word to each other prior to this. So let's take it away, guys. Why don't you introduce yourselves to each other?
Oh, my name is Book.
Hello there, Book. My name is Jordan.
We're shaking hands. It's nice to meet a fellow basketball genius.
Yeah.
First time ever, folks.
Very flattering introduction.
Well, I don't mean to embarrass you guys, but what's your guys' teams?
Oh, I'm a big-time Raptors fan.
And to totally cop out, as I said before the podcast, if I could get one of those NBA hats with just the logo on it, I'd go with that.
You're a fan of the sport.
Try to follow everybody, you know what I mean?
I hear you, man. It's all fun to watch. I can watch any game, and it can be interesting for, any game, man.
I'd say I can watch 40% of games.
Last night, I was watching the Thunder without Russell Westbrook playing the Timberwolves on the last game of the season. Or, no, the second to last. And Oladipo carried his Thunder to a victory.
Why are you doing that?
I was just... What I'm saying is I got to be like, look at Karl Anthony Towns. Look at Andrew Wiggins. Like, this game is fun to watch because these players are so explosive and fantastic, so... Cheers to the NBA, Jordan. I like that answer.
Last thing, though, before we get to the series, Dirk's coming back officially.
To play in the 20th season?
Yeah.
Bravo. Round of applause for Dirk Diggler.
And he says he'll only play for the Mavs.
German Jesus.
I say we get focused here and talk about what's happening right now. What's happening right now are the NBA playoffs as of this weekend, fellas, and I thought it would be great to get together right now to talk about what we predict will happen in these NBA playoffs, and we'll start with the first round. So shall we?
Let's do it.
You good? We should talk about the series that everyone's talking about. Everyone has circled on their calendar, man.
Rockets.
That's going to be Memphis versus San Antonio versus the Spurs. Everyone's going to be talking about that series. I'll tell you, man. I'll say one thing. Sorry to cut you off, Book. They should. Adam Silver should switch the seating because I don't want to see the San Antonio Spurs facing the Memphis Grizzlies again. Please. No more.
They played each other four times. Or I believe three or four times this year. No team in any game scored 100 points.
Get ready for some grit and grind, baby.
Because they both play, they both have good defenses, and they both play slow. Like, they're two of the slower teams in the league. And it's going to be some grinding. The Grindfather, he's going to be out. He's out. Tony Allen.
No way.
Yeah, he's out. He's out for the whole series.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, this is I think they just announced it today. He got hurt in a meaningless last regular season game.
Really? Are you kidding me?
Against the Spurs, ironically.
That's the biggest worry you have as a organization when a player that's crucial, absolutely crucial.
That's
without
your,
Tony Allen, they're going to get killed.
He's your guy for Kawhi, right?
The Grizzlies are going to get killed.
They have, what's his name, James Ennis, who's decent. And we also got to remember that Tony Allen's not the defender that he once was.
Hey, listen, man, it's not about that. What he may lack in athleticism and youth, he makes up for in savvy and experience.
Hey, I love Tony Allen.
It's going to be a 57-year-old Vince Sanity to the rescue.
Vince Carter's hilarious, though. Sometimes he'll get hot, and he'll just have, a big game. He'll go crazy. But, he's still shooting, 38% on the year?
He's going to have to pick up those... Who's going to pick up those minutes?
Ennis? I think Ennis is going to have to play just because you'll be the only guy that can put on Kawhi.
Oh, my goodness.
And then they've got JerMichael Green, who's kind of a decent defender, that they'll put on LaMarcus.
Kawhi's going to go bananas.
Yeah, it'll be tough. I mean, they're still going to be a good defensive team.
Tough. I mean, it's an impossible feat if you're the Grizzly squad, but I like David Fizdale, man, and
I think it'll go like six.
I like the Grizzlies, man. I think Mike Conley having the biggest contract in NBA history is a smart move because it builds that like team kind of chemistry and history, and like just giving these guys a shot every year. Like, I know some people say this, and people say this about the Clippers too, but they say it about the Grizzlies. Maybe they should blow it up because they're only going to be this middle-of-the-pack team. I say, but why can't the Grizzlies have their 2011 Dallas Mavericks year where they just put it together? But without Tony Allen, it ain't happening.
I swear, their 2011 Dallas Mavericks year happened like in 2011 when they beat the Spurs.
In the first round.
Yeah, I think that was it. I think they were already aging and on the way down.
That was the
and that was like Zenith. How many years ago?
So yeah, you take the opposite viewpoint, man. You disagree,
man. With Zebo, he's the whole team. Vince Carter's 100 years old. Zach Randolph's 100 years old. The grandfather, who I was, the one thing I was like, hey, Tony Allen and Kawhi Leonard on the perimeter. Maybe now I'm learning he's not going to be in the series. Man, put away your pepper grinders.
Yeah, bummer.
I mean, there's the Gasol versus Gasol throwdown. Is that really worth your time?
Marcus, I didn't think about that aspect. Incredible season though. Like he's probably gonna end up third team All NBA, mm-hmm. Which who saw that coming? He's supposed to be on the decline, right?
I am a big Marcus All fan. He shot more threes this
38%.
Season. Yeah, more threes than ever before. I mean, we're talking a 7-plus-foot guy who now shoots threes. Great passer, yep. former defensive player of the year. Big Marcus All fan.
And he bumped up his scoring totals this year. 20 points a game.
Yeah, it's almost like they paid him the $153 million, Mike Conley. Is he going to prove that was a good contract in this playoff series?
Conley's had a good year.
He didn't make the playoff or the All-Star team.
Well, it's a little unfair though, just because they signed him and he was already like in his prime, or he's already been like a year into his prime, and he's never been an All-Star, right? So he's just been what he's always been. It's just like the NBA is in this weird stage where,
yeah,
players like Conley and DeRozan are getting paid what they deserve, and guys, superstars, are not because they're getting capped by the cap, and as a result, they're all making the same amount of money, and it's kind of weird. It's like, why is Conley making the same as LeBron? It has nothing to do with Conley being overpaid. It's because LeBron is way underpaid because of the cap.
A vivid memory I have from this season is a game I watched that the Grizzlies had against the Thunder. And, like, Russell Westbrook had a triple-double. He went off. And Mike Conley, his matchup, couldn't control him. Had, like, 18 points, 7 assists. And I was like,
those are Mike Conley numbers.
Mike Conley numbers. And people say, like, even you compare it to Chris Paul. Like, Chris Paul is the best point guard of all time. His averages are 19-6. And Mike Conley's the same way. Everybody acknowledges this guy's a superstar, but he'll never make an all-star team. Yeah, and he'll never have monster numbers. He's smart.
High IQ. Yeah,
and he has a good connection with his team, right? Yeah. Like, he's a good leader. Like, he's just a good... He's a high-quality character.
Mm-hmm.
Man. So, Spurs-Grizzlies, you guys have anything else to say?
Go, Spurs, go! That's all I got.
That's it.
We should probably, guess how many games.
Oh, that's true. I say Spurs in six.
Spurs in six? Wow.
I think the Grizzlies will still put up a fight.
That's nutty. Well, they have a good leader in David Fizdale. Jordan?
You would imagine something's going to happen in that series. I think they seem to play every year or every other year over the last decade. Weird stuff happens, but I don't know. With no grandfather, There's no one in the middle to even, yeah, Kawhi's going to go crazy. The true MVP, hint, hint, for later discussions. Yeah, I think it's going to be a Spurs sweep. Four.
Spurs.
Sweep. Go, Spurs, four. Go.
Jordan, now you're speaking the truth, man. The Grizzlies have no shot of winning a game, a quarter, a possession. The Spurs will just dominate them.
Let's
are we good?
On. All right, let's move on.
Done. Yeah, okay. Got that out of the way, fellas. So, you know what? Let's pick it up. Let's talk about the Houston Rockets, the third-seeded Houston Rockets versus the sixth-seeded Oklahoma City Thunder. Dudes.
Okay.
I guess this is the most appropriate time to ask you, like, who you got for MVP?
I was going to go LeBron for, like, the first half of the year, but just because how bad they played at the end, I'll go with Westbrook. Especially because the one thing that Harden had going for him was the efficiency. And, you know, Harden, yeah, I guess he hurt his wrist, and he kind of struggled down the stretch. And Westbrook played really well. And now their efficiency is actually quite similar. Like, they're both shooting 34% from three. They're like shooting 43%. Harden shooting like 44. Like, it's very similar. And then when you throw in the assist and rebound totals, I think you go Westbrook.
Cool. Jordan?
Yeah, I think Westbrook's going to win it. But if you ask me, honestly, I think Westbrook gets a lot of votes because people play this angle that it's a two-man race between Westbrook and Harden has the better team. That's why Harden's team has better wins, and Westbrook has no support. He's literally doing 100% of the heavy lifting to get that team to the playoffs. I don't buy that. I think their roster is the same as the roster that everybody was saying. Kevin Durant's not going to go anywhere in the offseason. They've got so much support. I think Enes Kanter, Adams down low. I think they've got a decent... They're defensively, they're top five, I think.
Nah, they've fallen. I think they're like around like 10th.
10th?
So they're still decent. But that is a good point, though, that a lot of people predicting going into the year had OKC ahead of Houston. Because most people had Houston missing the playoffs. And like, it's because like Westbrook has such insane usage that a guy like Oladipo, he's actually a pretty good player. Yeah. He just doesn't really... He just kind of gets used as a spot-up shooter, so his point and totals aren't great. Like, Gibson's a good player. Adams is a good player.
Yeah, they picked up Taj Gibson.
Robertson is an elite perimeter defender. He's going to be all defense, definitely.
Yeah, might be so first I think team. That's a roster full of problems for some teams. And people like
Robertson's going to be a problem for Harden.
Yeah, people like to play up the storyline that Westbrook is doing it all by himself, and I don't buy it. I think if you look at the roster, Kawhi actually is. If you look at Tim Duncan's gone, Tony Parker is a shell of him former self, and that's an understatement. Manu Ginobili, all he's got left is a bald spot. I mean,
but they've got kind of good guys though that have replaced. Like LaMarcus Aldridge had a nice year. Patty Mills is giving them great.
Hey,
Patty
Mills is giving them great. Stop talking about the Spurs. Stop talking about the Spurs.
Go Spurs, go! Oh, that's true.
Okay, we can move on from the Spurs. But you asked about
I think Kawhi
it has to be one of the two guys facing off with the series.
But to fit it,
because those are the only options, man. Because let me tell you something, Russell Westbrook is going to lift that MVP trophy. He deserves to because of...
Not because of the triple-double.
No, but because...
But because of...
No, I'll say this. Because he beat Oscar Robertson's record, and he also beat Wilt Chamberlain's record in the same game. And it was against the Denver Nuggets. It was on the road of a back-to-back, and he hit a three-point shot game winner. I was like, that one game?
To knock the Nuggets
out of the playoffs.
Disgusting.
I'm like, dude, you get it, dude. Like, you get it because of that game.
Well, let's get back to the series. Who do you think is going to win then?
Okay, the Rockets Thunder series. Yeah, 7 seconds or less Rockets versus Westbrook and his cronies. I don't know, man. Is Westbrook going to go Super Saiyan probably. I think they'll get a few games. They'll trade back and forth. But ultimately, I'll take D'Antoni. I'll take the 7 seconds or less Rockets. I think they got too much firepower because it's not just Harden. Because he's, like you mentioned when we were talking about the MVP race, he's been faltering a little bit down the stretch. But the Rockets team hasn't necessarily. They've got a lot of fucking... Basically, everybody on that team is just on there to chuck up three-pointers. Eric Gordon off the bench might win Sixth Man of the Year. You got Ryan Anderson's on that team, right? You got Lou Williams. Like, they got a bunch of gunners that are going to put up... They might go cold, like Charles Barkley always really likes to say about jump-shooting teams. But I'll take the analytics on that. I think they're going to hit more shots than they miss. Rockets.
I think... Seven?
I think it probably goes seven.
Yeah. Game seven? And Russell Westbrook's going to lose a game seven?
Imagine...
Oh, man.
But I think it's going to go seven for sure, just because, like you mentioned in your MVP race, it all came down to that dramatic final point with all these things riding on it. Of course, it's going to have to go game seven. It's going to be the MVP battle. It's going to be the most dramatic thing until we get to the finals.
See, people are talking about the MVP battle. I think it's a soup. Like, there's, for both of the MVP guys, they have really good defensive matchups. Like, Westbrook, Beverly. That's going to be a good matchup. Oh, Beverly's going to play dirty. He's going to get history. In his face.
They've got a lot of history.
I mean, that's going to be intense. like, how many games do you think it's going to take before Beverly gets a flagrant? I say game one, he gets one. so that's going to be good. And then, I was pumping up Robertson. Robertson's going to be first team all defense. And he's played really well. And he's played really well on Harden. And I believe OKC won the season series. And a big part of that was whenever Robertson was on Harden, Harden shot like 32%. Like, he played really well against him. So I think those are two really good matchups. The one thing I'll say about Houston, Lou Williams has like the worst playoff numbers of all time.
Playoff Lou Williams?
That guy. Oh, man. I just remember that Washington series. The frustrating thing about Lou Williams is like... He does that stupid little, like, he tries to draw these stupid fouls, and he doesn't get those calls in the playoffs. So then it actually just comes down to him hitting shots. And, like, Lou Williams, when he's not hitting shots, he's just so painful to watch. You know, and I don't know, I like Lou. He seems like a cool guy. So hopefully he plays better this time. But, man, I just have no faith in him being able to hit anything in the playoffs. He shoots, like, 28%.
Spoken like a true Raptors fan.
With all due respect to the Toronto Raptors, he's never been on a team like this. He'll drain some big threes, buddy. And he will contribute. And I believe that the Rockets will win this series in six games. Oh, and they're going to win it in Oklahoma City. And these fans will be disappointed when they see Russell Westbrook walk off the court.
Well, I'll say to give
losing a game with a triple double. Go ahead.
To give my prediction, I feel like OKC is kind of the sexy underdog pick. Everyone's kind of going with that, and I'm gonna join in on that bandwagon. I'm going OKC in seven.
It reminds me of when the Warriors beat the Nuggets 2 years ago. Like, everyone's like, "Oh, Nuggets," and then the Warriors, they surprised them. So it's like, yeah, I do definitely see that. Like, absolutely OKC, I could see running away with this series, but
I think they just have a team that can defend Houston. Like, Adams is a good kind of mobile guy at center, and then they can kind of go small around that. I'm just thinking of like a lineup of Westbrook, Oladipo, Robertson at the three, and then like Gibson and Adams. I think you'll see very little Enes Kanter. I don't think you can really afford to have him on the court. He's just too much of a defensive liability. But I don't know. I feel like it'll be a good matchup.
I absolutely love what Taj Gibson brought to the team.
That was a good trade. Man,
Bulls doing?
They're mad now.
So, let's talk about Ooh, the next series are exciting. I'm gonna pick. I don't know which one I'm gonna pick. How about you guys pick of the two remaining West series? What do you want to talk about?
Utah Clippers.
There we go. Let's talk about Utah.
Fascinating series.
Yeah, that'll be a good one.
I don't know who's stronger.
Man, the ramifications in this first round matchup. It's like, as I'm sitting next to these WWE figurines here, it's like a retirement match almost with the ramifications that they have. Because if the Clippers lose, they're blowing that shit up for sure. Yeah. For sure. And
even if they lose in the second round, they might blow it up. First round, definitely.
First round, for sure. It's over. It is over. And that's a core four that's been together forever. That's a big deal. This is some Game of Thrones shit. Characters are dying. Shit's happening.
I think they might continue with Paul and DeAndre and then try and trade Blake. I think they'll try and keep two of them.
Something's got to change. Something has to change. But on the other side of the coin, you've got Utah. Their all-star, Gordon Hayward, going into it is free agency this season.
If they lose
in the first... Very distracting.
I'm sorry. I'm just laughing at... I'm laughing at the fact that the Clippers are... so unfortunate. I'm laughing at the Clippers organization because... why do they suck so much? Like, why can't they even win...
get past the second round?
What, like, aren't they supposed to be good? They have Doc Rivers coaching them. They have a strong leader. Why does this team suck? I was laughing at the Clippers.
They're the Clippers.
A couple choke jobs.
The Clippers. I'll tell you, when Chris Paul hit that, like, game-winning layup on the Spurs, man, it was like, yeah, man, the Clippers are for real. But... the Clippers aren't for real, man.
Oh, hey. I'll never forget, though, when they got screwed over on that phantom call.
Against the Thunder?
Yeah, he doesn't even touch Westbrook, and they give him three foul shots. That was brutal. As a basketball fan, I was like, what? What just happened?
This team knows how to play. But it's like they can't even win against the Jazz.
They've gone unlucky. I definitely think they're going to win that series.
The Jazz are scary. Team, the argument can be made.
No, like, no disrespect to the Jazz. I'm just saying the Clippers were supposed to be this championship dynasty, weren't they?
Remember, Paul missed 20 games. When Paul played, they were a 60-win team.
Paul and Blake, like, both missed 20 games every year. And then they flame out in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, last year Paul got hurt in the playoffs. That's why they flamed out, right?
They've got a really convenient excuse every year. But that's the issue, is every year.
Well, 2 years ago, they definitely didn't have an excuse. That was just an enormous choke job against Houston when they were up a bunch against in game six and Harden on the bench and they go on that run.
That run was crazy. The fact that the Clippers let that one go, like they didn't go to the conference finals. But hey, if they did go to the conference finals, they would have faced the Golden State Warriors. And so what's the record of the LA Clippers against the Golden State Warriors in their last 12 matchups, by the way?
Okay, but what's everyone's record?
It's probably
that would have been an accomplishment if they got there.
The Clippers are especially bad against the Warriors. especially dominated. So the Clippers have no hope of winning a championship, and that's the way it is. And they have many star players. And they have a championship dynasty aura, but the fact is they're never going to win a championship. That's tough talk, Clippers.
Warriors have won the last 10 regular season matchups.
Double digits.
Hey, go talk to all those teams in the 90s when the Bulls were winning everything, right?
Talk to the Raptors now. They lost 10 in a row against the Bulls.
Your Clippers defense angers me. Anyways. Let's get back to the series. So the Clippers versus the Jazz. Let's talk Clippers Jazz.
She's like, what? Clippers Jazz? What about them? That should be a good series. I think it'll go long, but ultimately, I don't know. Clippers are playing pretty well. It doesn't seem like Griffin's 100%. So I don't know about their long-term prospects, but Paul's playing well, and ultimately, I think they're a better team.
What's your prediction?
I'd say Clippers in six.
Cool. Enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'd probably have to agree. They, as we discussed, have a history of choking or being injured at the wrong time, so on and so forth. But right now, they're relatively healthy as you can get. They're playing good basketball. Like, this is as good as it gets for the Clippers, so let's see what you can do, because this is their last hurrah. If they lose this series, which that Utah team, surprisingly scary, that five-man unit hasn't played much together this year, but I think they rank, like, pretty crazy defensively. You got the Stifle Tower back there, leading the lead in blocks.
The French rejection. He's also now.
The French rejection. Yeah, Rudy Gobert. I mean...
That's what I'm saying is, like, how can you think that I don't see how the Clippers get past the Jazz because the Jazz have Rudy Gobert.
The Clippers have good players as well, though.
No,
the,
I know,
the Clippers
but...
have DeAndre Jordan. I think the difference between DeAndre and Rudy Gobert is the free throw shooting. So in the fourth quarter, they're just going to hack DeAndre out. So then it goes... So then Blake slides down to the five, and I think that's when Utah...
Well, Hack-a-Shack is... It's kind of like the new rule change. It's not as effective, right? Like, he's got to have the ball. You can't foul him off the ball.
They're not good. So I... Hey, that... illuminates me. I haven't been paying enough attention. Are they not using that, like, at all?
They got the new rule change now that,
wow.
It's like... I can look it up.
Because I looked at the matchups and I was like, that's going to be the issue in the fourth quarter when DeAndre can't stay on the court.
But... Yeah, now if it's, like, an off-ball foul, I believe you get... It's two shots and the ball.
Hmm.
Yeah, they address that.
I say Rudy Gobert is the equalizer. I think he makes more of an impact defensively than
DeAndre Jordan.
DeAndre Jordan, thanks.
No, yeah, he's more mobile, but he's got more blocks this season.
Then again, I do see Gordon Hayward getting snuffed a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
how healthy is he? How healthy is that whole Jazz team? If they're healthy enough.
Will George Hill perform well, do you think?
How healthy is
he? He's had a great season.
Everything that I've been reading about Utah is basically their whole roster is kind of limping into the playoffs, but they made it. So
just to clarify, so the rule now is, because it used to be the last 2 minutes of only the fourth, and so now it's the last 2 minutes of every quarter, which is often when it would be the most employed.
Okay.
Because usually you want to wait before you're in the bonus before you start doing that.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, you can still hack a Drummond or hack a Jordan, but it's not quite as useful.
Regardless of who gets hacked, I still don't think it's going to save them. I wanted to pick the Utah Jazz as my sexy underdog pick, but... Honestly,
I mean, whoever wins is going to get killed by the Warriors. I mean, it's only the Spurs, right, that have a chance.
Did we all give predictions on Jazz Clips?
Yeah, I gave
You said Jazz and six. No, Clippers six.
Clippers six.
You
Clippers
said
six, yeah.
Clippers six?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Clippers in six. I think we're all in alignment there.
And just to preface the next series, Warriors in four.
All right, so we got the Golden State Warriors, Jordan's team.
We're done. Next.
What? You don't want to talk about the series?
That series, they're going to get killed.
No, man. We got to spend, like, a decent amount of time. Because I could talk about Damian Lillard all day. So if I can talk about Damian Lillard all day, why aren't we talking about the Golden State Warriors versus the Portland Trailblazers, the 1 versus the 8 in the West? So... I'm wondering, like, do you think that Damian Lillard goes for 50 in this series?
He can try.
I think he could, and they'd still lose. I don't think they're going to have Nurkic. Nurkic is going to be out for the whole
season. Broke his leg, like, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right. When's he coming back?
There's, like, been talk that he might just, like, try and play through it.
You know, I think
but
if
it'd
you're...
be risky, because, like, he could end up just fucking it up even more.
If you're a Portland Trailblazers fan, you don't want him even to stand up for the next 2 months.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, why risk it in a...
Take your two playoff home games.
He's trying, though. Yeah, it says he went through the Trailblazers pregame warm-up. Still hasn't gotten the green light, but he's trying to play.
On behalf of Brandon Roy and Craig Oden and the laundry list of Blazers' knees and leg bones and ligaments gone the wayside, I hope he does not come back before the playoffs or for the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's not going to make a difference. Last year, the Portland Trailblazers, what did they win? A game off of Golden State?
With no Curry, yeah.
And Curry was out for the first 3 games. Now, Curry's back, and he brought a friend.
Yeah. they're just like a bad defensive team. Like, at least the Grizzlies, you know, like, they can play really slow pace, kind of grind the game. You know, they have good defenders. Tony Allen owns Klay Thompson's soul, which is hilarious. It's hilarious how bad Klay Thompson plays against Tony Allen.
Hey, he did that to Durant, too, to be honest.
Yeah, I remember that. But at least that was Tony Allen in his prime. Like, still, Klay can't do anything against Tony Allen. And then, you know, Conley on Curry. But, like, Portland, there's only one playoff team that has a worse defense than Portland. We all knew who that is. It's Cleveland. But it's like...
So you're saying is the Portland Trailblazers play the worst defense out of the playoff teams.
Yeah, out of the teams that
try. Are capable of.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, they just... And then they don't even have Nurkic, who's been a big part of their turnaround. And if he does play, he's not going to be 100%. Even if Lillard goes crazy, which he could, and McCollum has had a great year. I mean, he could put up big numbers, but...
The first half of every game will be really entertaining to watch. Just go find something else to do at halftime. Because the game will be probably blown out by 20 points at least at that point.
It's pretty funny. BPI, ESPN's BPI, like how they have, like, their own formula, and they're giving the Blazers less than 1% just to get past the
Warriors. Okay, I get it, guys. The Blazers suck, but this is our only chance to talk about the Golden State Warriors in this podcast. So let's heap praise on the Golden State Warriors, the best team in basketball history.
Did they just coast to, like, 60-something wins?
67 wins. Sir,
they almost made it to 70.
KD missed time. They went on a 14-game winning streak with KD out.
Yeah, because
Curry found himself again. This was important. This was important for KD to be out. It's like now they're gonna come together and they're gonna win it all. Because drop my notebook. They're gonna win it all, man. I'm spoiling it all. I'm spoiling the NBA playoffs. This Golden State Warriors team, they're immaculate. They're perfect.
Curry
they're
ended so up with, like, by the end, pretty good numbers. It's funny that he's completely out of the MVP conversation.
It doesn't matter that he lost Andrew Bogut, Harrison Barnes. It doesn't matter. They got Steph Curry and Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. It's a joke.
Iguodala shot like 60% in the second half.
And Steve Kerr.
After the All-Star break, yeah. He was a man.
That's something ridiculous. Like, yeah. Once Durant got hurt, you just start eating up. And he's got the best assist-to-turnover ratio in the NBA. That guy's solid.
And Steve Kerr, who's like a wizard... Who wins an NBA championship in his first season as a coach?
Yeah, he had big time assistance. Wait, when he missed, what did they do? They didn't lose a fucking game. Anchor is overrated.
I think good on him for understanding that going in and bringing in like
fair enough.
Top level assistance. Like exactly what I was talking about. Though I think there was positives to be gained from the Mark Jackson tenure. However. As an actual basketball coach, he had to go. And you replace him with someone even competent, look at the results. Can't talk about Baron Davis.
No, you talk about a lot of, no, don't talk about Warriors through history.
Monte Ellis.
Talk about this year's Warriors.
Back in the playoffs.
You've yet You've yet to discuss the...
Tim Hardaway Sr.?
You have yet to discuss the Golden State Warriors versus Portland Trail Blazers series.
Tim Hardaway Sr., though, he's been... I actually want to bring up... Because I know he has dreams again in the Hall of Fame. And his name was, like, really hurt because he went on, like, that homophobic rant.
Yeah.
And he's been on damage control ever since. And he's actually, like, started... he's, like, volunteer. Like, he's actually become, like, a spokesperson for gay rights. And apparently he's turned a corner as a person.
Good for
don't say that, Jordan.
The last headline I had heard from Tim Hardaway Sr. was that that Allen Iverson was doing the crossover wrong, and it was actually his move. And all the credit he deserves for the crossover, because he had the original crossover. It just sounded right. Like some grumpy old man whining way past his career.
So I take it
he wasn't wrong, though. Allen Iverson carried on every single crossover. All
right, we're done talking about the Warriors Blazers then. We're going to put that in the box and wrap it up. And that's the West playoffs preview, folks. I think we got through all the series, right, guys?
Yeah.
That's all of them, right?
The West and
wait a minute. Part we didn't of the do, East. Did we all do, like, predictions for the Blazers?
Yeah,
Warriors.
I started.
Blazers
I said Warriors in four.
Warriors in four?
Warriors in three.
The Warriors are going to defeat them three times in such a devastating fashion.
I think they'll try and give them a gentleman's sweep, and they'll still, like, kind of accidentally win in game four.
Technical, number 23, 3-second violation, number 11. Traveling, number 4.